Happy Friday, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hope you're having a great Friday afternoon. This is the Local Zone on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Welcome into the show. I am Brooks Carter, host of the show. Each weekday here from 2 to 3 p.m. You can follow me on Twitter at Brooks A. Carter. Interact with the show on there as well at Local Zone 105.1. And you can interact over the airwaves. Phone number 423-648-1051. Listen online at ESPNChattanooga.com over these airwaves here, 105.1 every day, all 24/7. And then also, you can listen if you're headed out of town with that TuneIn Radio app, or if you're stuck around the office, you can listen on that or with the ESPN Chattanooga Alexa skill on your Alexa smart home device. Now that you know how to listen, let's get into it today. Quite a few, got a couple of fun topics to talk about today. And then some really exciting news from the local softball front. We've obviously talked a lot about high school baseball and softball this week, but also going on this week up at the collegiate level, the Chattanooga Lady Mocs are competing in the Southern Conference softball tournament. We will talk about how they've been doing in that tournament coming up here on today's show. Also taking a look at some local soccer going on in the area. We have some region tournaments up at the D2 level, the private school level of the TSSAA. And then coming up later in the show, we will actually do this in our second segment. Stemming off of the Chicago Cubs fan being banned for life for what was deemed an inappropriate gesture that he made in the background of a live TV hit on the NBC Sports Chicago broadcast of the Cubs game earlier this week. And then also kind of coupling that with the fan that got banned from the banned for life by the Utah Jazz earlier this year. Wanted to open up a discussion about kind of the unwritten rules of fandom. What is acceptable behavior? We'll talk about that coming up here in about 15 or 20 minutes, but let's go ahead and get into today's three big things.
What's making the local and regional sports headlines? Find out now.
All right, let's go ahead and begin. Normally, I save my best for last, but I just want to get this right off the top because it is as fresh as it can come down the chute here. The Chattanooga Mocs softball team has advanced to the Southern Conference Championship game. They took down the top seed, UNCG, in the tournament. This was final as of about 25 minutes ago. The Lady Mocs, 3-1 winners over UNC Greensboro. So they advance on, and all they have to do is win one game. They'll have two shots at it. All they got to do is win one game. They win. And not only will they win, they will clinch the automatic bid into the NCAA tournament. So big-time exciting news for the Mocs softball team as they have put themselves in a really good position here. Kind of looking at today's game and their run through the tournament, which began on Wednesday. Allie Walker had a two-run home run in the sixth inning today. They were trailing 1-0 to UNCG. That put them up 2-1. Cameron Swafford came in shortly thereafter and provided an insurance run that built a two-run lead on a sac fly. So they were up 3-1. They wound up finishing them off in the last two innings of the game, not allowing UNCG to score in the bottom half of the sixth or seventh. So with the win, they advance on, and still they will await the winner out of the loser's bracket here. Looking at the loser's bracket, you've got 4-seeded Mercer, 5-seeded ETSU. The winner of that game will play UNCG, and then the winner of that game will now play the Mocs, who are sitting there awaiting all these. Now, if you want to keep up with this action throughout the tournament here, you can do so with the streaming service from ESPN, ESPN Plus. The first of the championship games, if necessary, for a second one. But the first one, 1 p.m. tomorrow. So the Mocs looking to win the Southern Conference Championship tomorrow. Let's take a look at how they got here. In the first two games of the tournament, they came in as the 3 seed. So UNCG had a 17 bracket. The bottom six seeds, 2 through 6, all had to play a first-round game, and UNCG got a bye. The Mocs played six-seeded Furman. They beat them 9-5. Then they played seven-seeded Western Carolina, who upset the number two seed, Samford, kind of lightening the path to lightening the tournament bracket path here for Chattanooga, not having to play one of the higher-seeded teams. But the Mocs beat the seventh-seeded Western Carolina Lady Catamounts 2-1 yesterday. And then that set them up today with UNCG, which, as I've mentioned, they took them down 3-1. So big win for Chattanooga. They await the winner of that loser's bracket game. And as I mentioned, it could be a combination of three different teams looking at the Southern Conference championship bracket right now on their website at SoConSports.com. Could be 5-seed ETSU or 4-seed Mercer as they play a little bit later today. The winner of that game gets UNCG in the loser's bracket, and then the winner of that gets Chattanooga tomorrow at 1 p.m. So congrats to Chattanooga for even putting themselves in position here. I know they haven't won the whole thing yet. You know, I talked about the Lady Mocs softball team last week entering this tournament. I actually had a pretty good gut feeling that they might be successful in this tournament and perhaps have a shot to be in the position that they're in now, because if you look at how well they've played down the stretch. So that UNCG team that they beat today, the top seed, the last series that the Lady Mocs softball team lost was actually to UNCG, and that was the last weekend in March. They were swept at home by UNC Greensboro. Since then, they have not dropped a single series. They won four in a row in Southern Conference play to close out the year, sweeping a series with Western Carolina and taking 2 of 3 in all of their other series, and then also had a Tuesday night road trip up to Belmont that they won 8-1 mixed in there as well. So they've played really, really well down the stretch here, putting them from after they were swept back at the end of March by UNC Greensboro. They were towards the bottom of the rankings in the Southern Conference, and with the way that they played down the stretch, they climbed all the way up and got that 3 seed, and now they've continued that momentum. That's the name of the game this time of year. You hear it all the time when it comes to postseason tournaments, especially in this type format when there's an automatic bid up for grabs to clinch a spot in the NCAA tournament. You want to be playing your best ball at the end of the year, and that's what the Mocs are doing right now. So one win is all it's going to take for them tomorrow, and they will be advancing on with the automatic bid from the Southern Conference into the NCAA tournament. So best of luck to Chattanooga tomorrow. They'll get two cracks at it, the first of which game one of the finals at 1 p.m. tomorrow. And as I mentioned, you can find that and watch it on ESPN Plus. Looking at some soccer action going on yesterday, we had Boyd Buchanan advancing to the region final. They defeated CAK yesterday 1-0 for Boyd. The game's lone goal came on a Hayeswoods header off of a corner kick from Ben Hawk. Boyd will now play in the championship, D2 East Region Championship tomorrow against Knox Webb. Knox Webb actually the host of this tournament, so they will have a little home field advantage there in this championship setting. But they will play tomorrow. Also, yesterday you had CCS in action. They had a shot to make it a total local final here from the Chattanooga area up there at Knox Webb, but they fell to the host, Knox Webb, 4-1. The one goal from CCS, I typed it out phonetically here. Let's see if I can get it. Edemo Intereste was the only goal, scored the only goal for CCS yesterday. They will now play CAK in the third place consolation game. And once again, as I mentioned, that tournament being held up in Knoxville. So both teams back in action locally that are still alive in that tournament. Still in action tomorrow. Boyd playing for the region championship. CCS playing for third place. Looking at some baseball action up at the minor league level. Let's take a look at the Chattanooga Lookouts. They have been on an absolute tear. They are now four games above 500 as they continue to win. They have now clinched their third consecutive win, third straight series win, with a win last night, 5-1 over the Tennessee Smokies. They've taken the first three out of the four games in that series, and pending weather tonight, we'll be back in action at 7:15. But you look at their last two series prior to this, they took four out of five from Biloxi. They took four out of five from the Birmingham Barons, looking to do that again, and improved to 19-14 on the year. excuse me, but they have really, really just cranked it up here in the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, as they have catapulted themselves towards the top of the Southern Conference standings now. And, you know, I know it's a bit presumptuous to just jump on an early season record, but I am really impressed with the way that they this quick early season turnaround that, shall we say, the new look Lookouts, with their first year back being affiliated with the Cincinnati Reds since 2008. But I've been really impressed with their quick turnaround here as they started out the year on a dismal stretch, falling to five games below 500, and what they've done since then to now sit here with an opportunity with another win tonight to go five games above 500. That's a huge swing of the pendulum here early in the season when you're talking about over the course of, you know, your first 30, 35 games to go from being five games under 500 to being five games above 500. So let's hope the Lookouts continue their success here and can continue that on to a first half Southern Conference or a Southern League first half victory and win the first half of the season there. When we come back, going to jump into that conversation that I teased a little bit back at the beginning of the show. Would love your input over the airwaves here at 648-1051, as well as in our Twitter inbox at LocalZone1051. The unwritten rules of fandom. This conversation, an idea stemming off of some of the recent lifetime bans that that fans have received. Chicago Cubs fan earlier this week for an inappropriate gesture that he flashed, or what was deemed as an inappropriate gesture. That's kind of a an interesting conversation surrounding all that in itself. And then a Utah Jazz fan back earlier couple of months ago in the NBA. So what is acceptable fan behavior? We'll talk about that next, coming up here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Stay tuned. This is The Local Zone. Welcome back into The Local Zone here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Coming up on about 20 minutes after the hour here in Chattanooga. Hope you're having a great Friday afternoon. Hopefully dodging the pending raindrops that are heading into the area, and I've already been in the area. 648-1051 is the phone number to chime in on this discussion here regarding what is acceptable fan behavior. And as I've mentioned a couple of times, the inspiration for this topic stemming off of some recent lifetime bans that fans have received at a couple of different professional sports franchises. The Utah Jazz banning a fan a few months back, and now the Chicago Cubs banning a fan here this week. Now, both of these, let's just go ahead and put this out there. The reason behind, the ultimate reason behind why each of these fans from the Jazz and the Cubs were ultimately banned is it comes down to an inappropriate racial comment or gesture, and that was, you know, it was deemed, you know, racially motivated, fueled by each one of these organizations. And that's what resulted in both of them, you know, being banned from life from both of these stadiums and franchises. And, you know, that obviously is never going to be acceptable in any forum. And it's something I think we're going to start seeing more and more. You know, you think about stuff that we've heard from players over the years. They think about Adam Jones, the longtime Baltimore Orioles center fielder, who has talked about how he's been called racial slurs for years on the road at Fenway Park up in Boston. So maybe it's hard to pinpoint just one fan when you, if you've got, you know, a group of fans shouting, chanting those type obscenities and slurs at a player. But I feel like this is going to start becoming more and more common. So that is definitely one that needs to be, you know, removed from the vocabulary and the unwritten rules of what's allowed for a fan to do at a game. But with that in mind, what are some things that maybe teeter that line that can be could be deemed appropriate? So let's talk about that now. So one of the big ones that always comes up is, you know, when and if is it appropriate to boo your own team? I know Wells and I were talking about this a little bit before the show as he was kind of asking what I had planned for today's show. And he has spoken openly on these airwaves about how, as a diehard Tennessee Vols fan, he has booed the Vols in Neyland Stadium before. When they have not, you know, given great effort. And it's obvious. And I think that is acceptable. Now, there is a point where I feel like it might cross the line. If you're booing your own team, let that be where it stops if you're unhappy with their performance. That needs to be the ceiling of where it stops. You know, you think you've seen some of the old classic NFL films, videos of Eagles fans throwing beer cans and other garbage and stuff on the field at players and coaches from the Eagles organization. That's totally out of bounds and unacceptable. And, regardless, I don't care if you're mad at the referees, anything. That is definitely a rule that should not that is a rule that should not be broken. You should never throw anything on the field. You know, I think back. I don't think I've ever been more ashamed to be a Braves fan than if you think back to Chipper Jones' last game of his career. It was I think it was the very first year that Major League Baseball did the wild card play-in game, and they were playing at home against the Cardinals, and they had the infield fly rule debacle that may or may not have contributed to. The Braves losing, it definitely, you know, helped them, prevented them from getting in a position to tighten the game up. But Braves fans at Turner Field started throwing stuff on the field. And that's the first time I've ever seen anything like that happen at a Braves game or anything like that happen with a team and fan base I associate with. And that was embarrassing. I remember tweeting about that. That was really embarrassing as a Braves fan to see them have to stop the game of play to get crews out there to start cleaning crap up off the field because fans started plunking their hot dogs and their beers. And not to mention, how much money are you spending at a game? If it's me, if you go get a couple of beers and a hot dog at a pro sports game, baseball, basketball, whatever, I mean, you're looking at a $20, $25, maybe even $30 investment, depending on the city and venue. You're really going to waste it because you're mad at what happened? That should be another rule. And that should be motivation enough to not throw, to not throw your food and beverages on the field. How much damn money did you spend on it in the first place? Think about that. But yeah, so, you know, back to the whole booing thing. I do think that at times it can be appropriate for fans to boo their team, but I think that's strictly under the caveat of a team consistently underperforming and not giving effort. So, like, I'll give you a recent example. I think this past year in SEC basketball, if you're a Vanderbilt basketball fan, you had every right to boo that team at the end of the year. They went winless in conference play, and at the beginning of the year, they were still competing, and you saw some close games that they had with some, you know, formidable opponents such as Tennessee. But then you start looking at the end of the year, the team just stopped trying, and they were getting blown out by 20, 30 points. That's when it is acceptable. Maybe you start pulling out the paper bags. You've seen that a lot over the years. I think back to some of the darker days, still perhaps dark days, but some darker days for New York Knicks fans. I've seen them with the paper bags over their heads. That's always comical to see for sure. But don't boo the team if they're giving effort. If it's a losing product, but they're still, you know, giving effort, and you can see, you know, progression. Like, because sometimes, you know, you think about a historical losing program or a program that's lost a lot in recent years, and you get a new regime in there, and they're trying to turn things around and build some momentum. They might still be losing at first. Give them a chance, especially if they look like they're still trying and competing each and every game. You know, reserve the boos, hold those in. Now, I was looking through some articles and some stuff researching about this topic, and I found a really good old column from Bill Simmons back in his ESPN days when he used to write for Page 2 on ESPN.com. And he was kind of talking a little bit about this. And one that really stuck out to me that I loved is because this has irked me. And I've never been a huge fantasy sports person kind of as a result of this. Because I'm kind of a traditionalist when it comes to fans, to my fandom. You know, I support my team, and I don't really want to find myself rooting in a position to where I feel like I need to root for players on an opposing team because I've got them on my fantasy team, and that's where we're going here. I don't think that's acceptable. You may have a different opinion out here in the audience in Chattanooga, but if you've got a guy that's on your fantasy team that is playing against your, you know, diehard favorite team, and he's having a big game or something, or rips off a big long run, scores a touchdown that you know is going to be impactful for your fantasy team, that's fine. Celebrate in silence. No fist pumping, no jubilation, anything like that, because to me, that's suspect. Super suspect. Because at that point, you are actively rooting for that guy's success against your own team. And that is just a total, you know, conflict of interest there. And I've seen it happen. I've seen guys on that I'm buddies with in college, or just or people that I'm Twitter friends with, tweeting about, oh yeah, that's my guy there. He had blank blank today. And I'm like, wasn't he playing against your team that you are supposedly a fan of? If he gave you a bunch of fantasy points this week, that's awesome. I hope it did help your fantasy team. Celebrate in silence. That's one that has definitely, you know, irked me over the years. And then kind of maybe similar to that topic, on the front of me being a traditionalist when it comes to sports fans, sports fandom. If you have like a dad or something or a grandfather that grew up, you know, like for instance, my father-in-law is a huge Cowboys fan, but he grew up and still currently lives in New Jersey. He watched the Cowboys and fell in love with the Cowboys in the 70s because they were on TV all the time. Similarly with the Braves, there's a lot of Braves fans around the country and a lot of Cubs fans around the country because they were on WGN and TBS all the time, and you could see them nationwide playing all of their games back in the 90s. So if you've got one of those type things where, you know, maybe a previous generation in your family has instilled that fandom for a certain team that may be nowhere near where you live, I'm fine with that. But generally speaking, I didn't have any situation like that. I grew up in Georgia. I'm an Atlanta sports fan. I've rooted even for the Hawks over the years. Don't ever really think I rooted for the Thrashers when they were in town. They didn't have much to root about, obviously. That's why the franchise bolted and went to Winnipeg. But, you know, I've always cheered for the Falcons and for the Braves my entire life growing up. And then my grandfather played football at Alabama in the late 50s. So my entire family, as a result, grew up Alabama fans. That's still regional, though. We're just the next state over. The point I'm trying to get to about this is people whose fandom for a team is contingent upon a specific player. Like, I think back to, I always thought it was kind of weird. You know, the Tennessee fans in this area, they were huge Colts fans because of Peyton Manning, but then they became huge Broncos fans after that. Who are you a fan of now? That's my question. Like, if you sold off your allegiance to the Colts, but then when Peyton leaves town and goes and signs with the Broncos, now you're a fan of him and you're buying all of the Broncos gear. He's out of the league now. Who are you a fan of? And same thing with people over the years that have been, you know, they were huge fans of the Cavaliers, then they were huge fans of the Heat, and now they're fans of the Lakers because of LeBron. And you're selling your allegiance to these new teams as LeBron moves around. Who are you going to be a fan of when he leaves the league? Are you just going to find a new player? That's always been kind of suspect to me. I am a traditionalist when it comes to my sports fandom. I like sticking with one team, and I'm going to stick with them. And, you know, I might be, you know, I was a huge Brett Favre fan when he was playing, but you never saw me with any Packers gear on. So that's another one for me. We're going to take another break here. When we come back, we can continue this conversation if you'd like to chime in over the airwaves here. 648-1051 is the phone number. Also, we will take a look at some of the sporting events coming up over the weekend that involve some of these local Chattanooga teams, Red Wolves, CFC, Lookouts, everything that they've got going up. We'll do all that here in the last half hour of the show. Stay tuned. This is the Local Zone on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Welcome back into the Local Zone here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Coming up on about 20 minutes to the top of the hour. So about 20 more minutes to get involved with the show here. Continuing our conversation about the unwritten rules of fandom and whatnot. And let's go to Chance on the hotline. What's going on, man?
Hey, just calling to tell you that basically I can relate to what you were saying. I was a huge Peyton Manning fan all the way through his time in Indianapolis. And then when he went to Denver, I became a Denver fan. And ever since he got out of the league, I really just can't pull for the Broncos. I mean, I kind of like him, but as far as rooting for one team, yeah, that love's kind of gone now. So I'll hang up with.
Thanks, Chance. And yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at is, you know, kind of to more of an individual standpoint of fandom. You know, I think back to me being a huge NASCAR fan growing up. And I was a huge Dale Jarrett fan. And when he retired in 2008, I never really had a driver that I ever found after that I rooted for or had the same kind of interest in the way that I did for Dale Jarrett. I kind of pulled for Dale Jr. a little bit, especially in the twilight of his career. I wanted to see him maybe win a championship prior to retirement. I know a lot of people, you think about the tragedy surrounding it, but you know when Dale Sr. retired, a lot of people didn't know who to root for anymore. And it's an individual type sport where you've got a driver, a single person whose name is the brand for what they do, with you know the number on the car and the name on the car. You know, it's funny that sometimes a player in a team sport can transcend that same type of way that someone in an individual sport can. And that's definitely the case with Peyton Manning, and it's had a huge impact here regionally. I would be interested to see, kind of like to Chance's point, he said he hasn't really associated himself with a team since Peyton Manning retired. He was a Colts fan, then a Broncos fan, and he's kind of just found himself, you know, kind of in that gray area of who do I root for now. I would suspect it maybe has affected Chance's viewership of the NFL because he doesn't have – it's not appointment television for him anymore because he doesn't have that one guy. Like you think about those type players over the years. Same thing a little bit for me with the Braves. After Chipper Jones retired, those couple of years after that until they've gotten good again here in the last 2 years – My viewing habits with the Braves really dwindled, and I did not watch them nearly as much after Chipper retired because that was my childhood hero. I grew up watching him. Now he stayed and played for the Braves his entire career. I guess I would have been curious had he ever gone anywhere else if I would have been more willing to support a different team. When I just thought about too, you've seen the impact of viewership and fandom when it comes to some individual sports, golf specifically. You saw from a rating standpoint what happens when Tiger is involved and when he's not involved, especially when Tiger is involved and he's winning. What happens from a golf fan's perspective when he, when his career starts to and his talents begin to kind of diminish here, which, hopefully doesn't happen sooner rather than later, but he is in his 40s, so you don't know. But definitely a fun conversation because, that's what we are for the most part when it comes to sports. We're fans. It's why we watch it. It's why our listeners listen to this station, because they're fans of sports. And back to the original point of why I brought up this conversation today, behavior that is deemed inappropriate and deemed appropriate by the higher-ups and legislators, this is going to be something that I feel like in 2019, where we're at in America, things that you used to be able to do at ballparks, in football stadiums, NBA arenas, any sort of college sports venue, and then even down to a local perspective of watching your kids play in youth league sports in middle school and high school, things that you used to be able to get away with, when there's cameras rolling everywhere and we're in an era of just super sensitive America. Things that you used to be able to do at the ballpark and scream at players and yell and whatnot, you're not going to be able to do it anymore. And a lot of that's a good thing. A lot of that is good. My hope, though, is that it doesn't get to a point where fans begin to become, you know, begin to become gun shy and not participate in the ways that have made these sporting venues and these sports events fun. Because I mean, realistically, that is the best part of the pageantry of sports is when you're at a game and you got fans screaming and yelling and they're loud and it's a ruckus crowd. Let's keep that part of it as pure as possible and hope to maintain that over the years. Let's just root out some of the bad behavior, especially some of the racially fueled comments that have resulted in some of these fans getting, put away and banned for life from these professional sports venues like you've seen with the Jazz and the Cubs here in recent years. 648-1051 is the phone number if you'd like to chime in on this topic. We're going to take our final break of the show here. When we come back, we're going to take a look ahead to some of the action going on this weekend. The Red Wolves back in action this weekend over Mother's Day weekend. And then we've also got the Lookouts still playing. Braves coming up. We haven't talked about them in a little while on the show here out on the West Coast right now. If you've stayed up to watch them play against the Dodgers, I'm sorry. We'll talk about that all coming up. This is the Local Zone here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Welcome back into the Local Zone here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. About 8 or 9 minutes left in the show here. 648-1051 is the phone number if you'd like to chime in on any of the discussions we've had the last half hour or so regarding the unwritten rules of fandom, or if you'd just like to touch on anything from the sports world. I am Brooks Carter, host of the show. Find me on Twitter at Brooks A. Carter and interact with the show on Twitter at LocalZone 105.1. Looking at some action coming up over the weekend here with our two local professional soccer teams. We've got CFC in action on the road tomorrow. This is up in Nashville in the Antioch area at the International Indoor Soccer Complex. They will be taking on Inter Nashville FC. They've played quite a few of these friendlies, and this actually gets it going in league play for them. So this is their first league match of the year. This will be at 8:30 Eastern time, 7:30 local time up in Nashville. They will have their first home league match of the year next Saturday on the 18th versus Greenville FC. So that'll be the next time that they're back home. They've had several home exhibitions, friendlies, whatever you want to call them, here in the last month and a half. So you've had several chances to get out and watch them before they actually get into league play. But now things starting to get ramped up for them as they start their league play this Saturday. Once again, that is a 7:30 local time. That'll be up versus Inter Nashville FC. Looking at the Chattanooga Red Wolves, they're in action this weekend at home over at David Stanton Field on the campus of Chattanooga Christian School. They play Forward Madison FC. Once again, this is their second time against Forward Madison FC. This is their second time at home, in fact, against them. They got their first win in team history back on April 6th versus them 1-0. So looking to perhaps pick up another win and pick up 3 points in the overall league standings. That'll be at 7 p.m. here downtown, or just down South Broad in Southside, downtown Chattanooga on the campus of CCS, as I've mentioned. So, and I believe that I've seen where that is a like a faith and family kind of deal with J103 planning to be out there. So, go out and enjoy a fun day of soccer action over there with the Chattanooga Red Wolves. Now, talked about the Lookouts a little bit earlier in the show today. They're going to be at home, continuing their home stand here. They wrap up their 5-game series with the Tennessee Smokies tonight at 7:15. Now, remember, this is all contingent of weather with a lot of rain coming through the area this weekend. But scheduled to wrap up their series tonight at 7:15 with the Tennessee Smokies. Tomorrow is when the worst weather is supposed to be, really, for this lots of rain coming through. It's supposed to be the worst tomorrow. They get it going with Pensacola, though. They have a five-game series coming up with them that'll take you from May 11th all the way up until May 15th in the midweek next week. Now, if you're just joining us here in the last few minutes of the show, the Chattanooga Lady Mox softball team advanced to the Southern Conference Tournament Championship with a win over top-seeded UNC Greensboro today. 3-1 winners. Allie Walker had a two-run home run in the sixth inning for the Mox that gave them the lead. They were down 1-0 prior to that. And then Cameron Swafford came in and had a sack fly that added a little bit of insurance run for them. For the Mox, they are 3-0 in this tournament. And they will get two cracks to win the Southern Conference Tournament Championship tomorrow, as they are the only unbeaten team in this double elimination tournament. So first game coming up at 1 p.m. tomorrow, and if necessary, there will be one to follow at 3 p.m. That's here at Frost Stadium in Chattanooga. So go out and support your Lady Mox if you want to see them with a chance to win the Southern Conference Championship tomorrow. If you can't get it out and support them, though, that is available through ESPN streaming service, ESPN Plus. More notably, though, if they're able to win, obviously, they get that automatic bid. So they'll be in the NCAA tournament if they can just win one of potentially two games tomorrow. And this is a team that perhaps could make some noise if they are able to get that win tomorrow. They won 9 out of their last 12 games entering the Southern Conference tournament, including their last four series in Southern Conference play. And the last series that they lost was actually to this UNCG team, so they avenged that loss today at home with a big tournament win. Something I was continuing that conversation from that I've had over the course of the last half hour or so about the rules of fandom. One thing I did want to kind of talk about was what actually happened up with the Chicago Cubs fan being banned. If you're familiar with the gesture, it was actually a gesture that a bunch of middle school and high school kids used to do back when I was in middle school and high school, and it did not have the same, I guess, kind of connotation that it's recently taken on. And if you want to know what the gesture looks like, you can find it on the internet. I'm not going to describe that over the air, plus that would be bad radio. But the story behind it, though, if you're familiar with the website 4chan, that's the number 4, then C-H-A-N. It's kind of similar to like a Reddit-style website. And some people on there took that gesture and kind of started a hoax on there and saying that it stood for it stood for something else, racially fueled, and they said that as a joke. But apparently, I was reading through the article. Some people have begun to use that, even though it was started that way as a joke. They've begun to actually use it in a serious manner, and that is why the Cubs fan wound up getting banned. Harmless or not, once you find out that something is, even if it's in a joking manner, begun to be used that way, let's maybe not use it that way, or let's maybe just not use it anymore, because you don't ever know. Back to what I was talking about. In 2019, anything can be interpreted anyway, especially if it's something that might have some sort of racist connotation. Why even bother? Why even bother even making the gesture if it could be interpreted that way? So, ran over about that with our unwritten rules of fandom conversation today. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Thanks for tuning in all week. Hope you have a great weekend, Chattanooga. Stay dry with all the bad weather coming in, and stay safe on those roadways for sure. David and Jay coming up next to wrap up your week of local radio here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.